so much, filling in on the piano.
Amen.
And the Lord has blessed us with some talented people.
Yes.
And praise the Lord for that. I wish I was one of them.
Amen.
But since I'm not, thank the Lord for bringing others that have some talent.
Amen.
Hope you got your Bible with you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. And again, just want to remind you to be in prayer for Vacation Bible School. And it is coming upon us very quickly. And we have got a few things still left to do to get ready. And so just pray all of it comes together. And all the stuff, if you signed up Sunday night to bring something, don't forget. And you can bring that up to the church office. And unless it's your cupcakes, let's save those until time, because they will not last until Vacation Bible School if you bring them up here too soon. And so just be in prayer for that. And then as we look ahead to King's Kids starting back up, and just pray that we get all the things ready for that. And another good year that we can pray and ask the Lord to give us. And let's pray that we see some boys and girls come to know the Lord as Savior and grow and find out what it means to be a Christian and to follow God's word and all those things. What a wonderful opportunity. And God has blessed us in being able to have a good, good group of kids.
Amen.
And we want to see more come and we want to reach more. And so just be in prayer for those things and that God will bring all that together. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. From time to time, I like to revisit familiar verses, familiar passages of Scripture, maybe even ones that we have memorized, because I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we become familiar with verses and we really kind of forget the power of the truth of those verses. And so that's my point tonight, that's my goal, is to remind you of the powerful truth that is found in this set of verses. I personally think that every Christian, if not have it memorized, we ought to be very familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Because there's going to be times in your life, and probably often, that you're going to need these verses. Let's look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning at verse 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Tonight I want to talk to you about this subject, bringing our thoughts into captivity. Let's bow for prayer, ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight, bringing our thoughts into captivity. Father, again, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this chance to examine your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak in a very special way. Lord, my desire is to be very practical tonight. Lord, our midweek service. Lord, I pray that you would give our people something to chew on. Lord, something to think about. Something to go home with. Father, that they would meditate and, Lord, that they would put the truth into action. Help us tonight. We need you. We need the truth of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible talks about the pulling down of strongholds. And I want to kind of give you just a where the rubber meets the road definition of what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a conclusion that we have settled in our mind of something that can never change, or something is right, or something that we want. Now let me say that again. A stronghold is a conclusion, something that we have settled in our mind that a particular thing can never change. Maybe we ourselves. That's just the way I am. I cannot change. We've decided that something cannot change, or we've decided that something is right, or we've decided it's just something that we want. We want it to be a part of our lives. Now, by the way, all of those things are contrary to God's will. I'm not talking about you've come to the conclusion in your mind that you're going to pray, or that you're going to read your Bible, or you're going to share the gospel with other people. That's not what we're dealing with here. What we're dealing with is those things that are contrary to God's will. And Satan sets up operations from those conclusions that we've made. It's so important that we understand that. A stronghold is a conclusion that we have settled in our mind that is never going to change. I talk to people all the time. Pastor, this situation, this circumstance, it's never going to change. I'm never going to change. This is just who I am. This is how I was raised. This is just the way it is. Or we've decided that something is right. Maybe one time we thought it was wrong, but now we've changed our mind and we've decided that it's right, or it's something that we want in our life. It's something that we desire, and so we no longer care what anybody says. We no longer care what anybody thinks. We've made up our mind that this is right, and we're going to, or something that we want, and that's what we're going to do. But those thoughts are contrary to the will of God, and Satan, in that place, has set up operations to work from. Now, in thinking about strongholds, I have heard people say, you know, bitterness is a stronghold. I've heard people say anger is a stronghold, that greed is a stronghold, that lust is a stronghold, pride is a stronghold, but they're not. Please understand, Satan has to have a place to shoot the bitterness from, and to shoot the anger from, and the lust and the greed. Anger is a reaction. Bitterness is a reaction. Lust is a reaction. They are not strongholds. They are the result of a stronghold. Now I'm going to give you tonight some major strongholds. And this is not an all-inclusive list, okay? I'm just going to share with you some things that I have dealt with in the ministry and just trying to help other people. Things that they have struggled with in their life that I see on a regular basis. And I want to just identify some of the major ones for you tonight and go ahead and examine your heart and see if any of these thoughts are true in your life. First of all, number one, you come to the conclusion that authority is against you. That authority is against you or out to get you. And it doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. You've just made up your mind. Maybe you've been hurt by authority. Maybe something has gone on in your life, but you're just convinced that authority does not have your best interest at heart. And so Satan sets up operations in that, and he shoots the anger towards you. And he shoots the bitterness, all because of that stronghold of authority being against you. And then number two, here's a big one. The stronghold that God has made a mistake in your life. That God has made a mistake in your life. Whether it is something, well, God created me or made me incorrectly. Or maybe a circumstance has happened in your life. Maybe a situation has come into your life that you disagree with God about. Well, and you don't understand why God allowed this certain thing to come into your life. And so you've made up your mind that God has made a mistake. Folks, that's a stronghold. And from that belief, that stronghold, that God's made a mistake, Satan sits back and he shoots those fiery darts of anger over that mistake, bitterness over that mistake, depression over that mistake. It's a stronghold. Number three, your rights. Your rights. What you should have or what you should deserve or what you think you deserve. I see it all the time. Well, I deserve more out of life. Well, I think I deserve a five-bedroom house with a three-car garage and a bass boat and a Ford F-150 to pull it and a swimming pool. I deserve that. I deserve more than what I am. Your rights. Somebody shouldn't treat me that way. I have a right. It's a stronghold. And Satan sends those thoughts of anger, depression, all of that kind of stuff through those strongholds. Number four, temporal and material success. Temporal and material success. I have seen this consume people. Status in life, pride gets in the way. You know, folks that work 70, 80 hours a week, not because they're trying to survive, but because they're trying to acquire things, material possessions, status. What does Satan do? He sits back and he launches those fiery darts of greed. It's a stronghold. Number five, immoral lifestyle. An immoral lifestyle. Huge stronghold. The places that you go, the things that you see, things that you hear, things that you read, it's a stronghold. What does Satan do? He sends the fiery darts of lust. Sometimes anger or bitterness through that. And then number six, the fear of man. The fear of man keeps a whole lot of people from doing what they know they ought to be doing. Doing what God's told them to do. Please understand, these are not the only strongholds that they are. Okay? In dealing with people, I just consider this six of the major ones. And out of these six, once he gets a foothold, he can operate out of these strongholds and he can bring about depression. He can bring about bitterness. He can bring about anger. And listen, and I'm just trying to help you tonight. If you have an issue with anger, if you have a problem with bitterness or depression, don't pray, "Lord, take my anger away. Lord, please get rid of this bitterness. Lord, help me not to have this depression." Look, that is only the symptom of the root problem. Get right to the source and say, "Lord, what is it in my life? What is the stronghold that's making me angry? Is it the thought that God made a mistake in your life? Situation, circumstance that he brought in? And you don't think it was right? You don't think it was fair? Is it the way that you were treated by somebody else?" I don't know. Go to the Lord. Ask him, "Lord, what is the stronghold in my life that is producing this anger? What is the stronghold in my life that's producing this bitterness? That's producing this depression? Lord, why am I struggling with lust? Why am I struggling with greed or pride?" Get to the root of the problem, because Satan constantly will continue to send those things, those results, until we deal with the source. Now in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible shows us how we can begin this personal sanctification. And that's what it is. It is personal sanctification. What is sanctification? After salvation, that is when the Christian becomes less like the world and more like Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's not the flip of a switch. It's not the snap of a finger. It is that process of maturing and growing to become more like Christ. And we pull down the strongholds and we cast down the imaginations, and the first thing that we must do is surrender territory back to God that Satan has taken over. We recognize the stronghold. We've prayed. We've identified it. We realize the conclusion that we've made in our mind that has created this stronghold. We identify it, and then we put up a no trespassing sign for Satan in that area, and then we give that territory back to God. Lord, I've been struggling with this, and the truth of the matter is, I've wanted to hold on to this. This is what I have perceived as being wrong, or I've got my rights, or this is what I deserve. And I'm holding on to this hurt or this mistreatment or whatever it is. Lord, I am giving this back to you. It has consumed me, and it has controlled me, and Satan has had an advantage, and Lord, I am going to give this back to you. Now, how do you keep Satan out? Because if you give territory back to God that Satan once controlled, let me tell you something, he's going to try and get back in. So how do we keep him out? Let me give you a little statement. You might want to write it down because I believe it'll help us. And I'll read it twice, okay? So if you're taking notes, don't get upset with me. I'll give you time. All right? Sow a thought, reap a desire. Sow a thought, reap a desire. Sow a desire, reap an action. Sow a desire, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Sow a character, reap a destiny. All right, I'll give it to you all again. All right? Sow a thought, reap a desire. Sow a desire, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Everybody got it? All right. If you missed it, see me afterwards. But did you see the progression? Thoughts turn into desires. Desires turn into actions. Actions turn into habits. Habits turn into a character, and character turns into a destiny. And it all started with a thought. And the battle in the Christian life rages, folks, not over our actions and not over our habits. The battle of the Christian life rages over our thoughts. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them, bring every thought into captivity. Because if you're losing the battle in your thought life, then you're losing the battle in your actions. And you're losing the battle in your habits. And you're losing the battle with your character. By the way, have you ever tried to change a habit? I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's pretty hard. The only way to change a habit is one thought at a time. You have to bring every thought into captivity, and you have to bring it under the obedience of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about. Now, God will not make me think like Jesus. I have to do that myself. And we have to understand that. God will not make us think like Jesus. We have to do things in order for us to have the mind of Christ in our life. It is my responsibility, it is your responsibility to renew your mind. Now, thank God he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can come alongside of us and he can help us, but we have to take the responsibility. If you're here tonight and you are living in depression, or you are living with anger, or you're living with bitterness, or you're living with greed, or you're living with immoral thoughts, you have to do some things in order to have victory. And the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. Look at verse 5. Casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does captivity mean? Captivity means to take as a prisoner. When a thought tries to come in, we say, no, that is not coming into my mind. Now, just think with me for a moment. Let's just pretend that this building is our mind. Okay? Now, I know nobody has a mind this big. All right? At least nobody in this room. But we're just pretending. Amen? So let's just pretend that this room, this building, is our mind. There are five entryways into this room, into this mind. We have the front door. We have two doors over here. We have two doors over here. Five ways to get in to our mind. When a wrong thought tries to come in, if we have a guard at the door, that guard can keep that wrong thought from coming in. Now understand, if our flesh is standing at the door, and it's a fleshly thought that is coming, that is trying to get in, guess what? Your flesh is going to say, hey, come right on in. Have a seat. We need you. But if it's the Holy Spirit standing guard at the door, and a fleshly thought tries to get in, guess what? It's not getting in. If it's a good thought that's trying to get in, if it's a thought that is good and right and pure and holy and lovely and just and all of those things, then the Holy Spirit's going to say, come on in. Have a seat. So important who we have standing at the gateway of our mind. And by the way, these thoughts don't have to come from you. Satan is trying to plant thoughts into your mind. Do you know that right now I am trying to plant thoughts into your mind? And I am using verbal language to do it. Satan doesn't have to have that. Satan can plant a thought in your mind without you hearing anything. Have you ever been praying? And right in the middle of your prayer, an ugly thought comes into your mind, and you're like, whoa, what in the world? Where'd that come from? Came from Satan. He wants you to stop praying. And so he brings those thoughts, or he plants those thoughts. He plants them in your mind to distract you from what you're supposed to be doing. Now, Satan is not omnipresent. Okay? He can't be working on your mind if he's working on my mind. But he does have principalities. He does have powers. He does have rulers of darkness. And I believe he has them well organized. Now, he might have a sergeant major on you, because you'll go to battle and you're trying to live for the Lord. Or he might have a private on you because you're not living for the Lord. But Satan cannot be everywhere, nor is Satan omniscient. He can plant a thought in your mind, but he doesn't know what you're thinking. But he can plant a thought in your mind and then watch your reaction. And if there's a stronghold in your life, Satan can set up operations and he can shoot those thoughts into your mind. You have given him a foothold and he can come in and come out as he pleases, plant the thought, and then watch how you react. And then he says, oh, every time she hears that person's name, ooh, she gets all bent out of shape. And she's just bitter the rest of the day. Oh, I shoot an immoral thought into his mind and he gets distracted. And he no longer does what he's supposed to be doing. Satan sits back in the stronghold and he shoots thoughts all day long and he watches our reaction. That's why we have to pull down the stronghold. That's why we have to take every thought into captivity. Give no place to the devil. There's a battle going on inside of every one of us. The battle is between your old flesh, your old desires, and your new nature, your spiritual nature. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I think that the biggest problem for most Christians is realizing and believing that they are dead unto sin. And I think maybe it's because we misunderstand what it means to be dead in the context of this verse. Let me illustrate. If I set this fan up here, and I let this fan represent your flesh, how many of you can hear the fan? How many of you can feel the breeze? Wow, you can feel it all the way in the back. Praise the Lord. Here, let me help the rest of you. All right, you feel the breeze? All right. Now, I'm going to kill it. How many of you can hear the fan? How many of you can feel the breeze? Fan's still there, right? But it's dead. Why? Because I unplugged it. That's what it means to be dead to sin. You unplug it. It's not that it's no longer there. It's right here. When we got saved, we didn't get rid of the old flesh. We didn't get rid of the old nature. The flesh is very much still there. The fan is still in the on position. And if I plug it back in, it's going to start running again. But this is what our sin nature should be in our life. It ought to be unplugged. Folks, we're not going to get rid of the old nature. We're not going to get rid of the flesh until we get to heaven. And we get our glorified body. But until then, we need to make sure that it's unplugged. Satan tries to keep us plugged into the world, the flesh, and the devil. He sits back and he says, hey, you still want to get revenge on that person. Hey, you still want to hold a grudge. You still want that kind of entertainment. You still want to do those things. You still want to live your life that way. Satan tries to keep us plugged in to our old nature. Our old nature's still there. It can be plugged back in, and it can start working again. What we have to do when a thought comes into our mind is make sure that we stay unplugged from that old nature. Because when you stay plugged into the world, the flesh and the devil, you won't have victory in your life. Because you're not taking every thought into captivity. Folks, taking our thoughts into captivity is a continual, conscious effort. That's why we have to stay pure. That's why we have to guard our eyes. That's why we have to guard our ears. That's why we've got to stay in the Word of God. That's why we got to be careful who we hang around. It's why we have to be careful what we allow ourselves to do, because if we don't, those thoughts are going to come flooding in and we won't be able to keep them all out. But when we stay unplugged from the world, the flesh and the devil, and we take every thought into captivity and we pull down those strongholds, you'll find that the depression is gone. You'll find that the anger is gone. The greed, the lust, the bitterness, and you'll have peace like you never experienced before. Here's what I believe happens moment by moment in the Christian life. We go through our life and there's a temptation. We hear something, we see something, or we think something. Our flesh says, hey, this is what you want. This is what you need. This is what you deserve. When we come across a temptation, we need to do something. We need to cry out to God. God, help me. God, this is where I struggle. Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Six times in the book of Judges, the Bible says that the people cried out to God and God sent them a deliverer. So when temptation comes, we cry out to God, and here's what happens. The moment you cry out to God and you ask Him for help with the temptation, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to do something. He may tell you to start praying. He may tell you to quote Scripture. He may tell you to start singing praises to God. He might tell you to look the other way. He might tell you to get up and leave the room. He might tell you to turn the TV off. The Holy Spirit will tell you to do something at the moment you cry out to God for help with the temptation. The Holy Spirit will give you guidance, and if you obey the Holy Spirit, you'll have the victory. Now, you might be thinking, well, Pastor, if I cry out to God, why doesn't the Holy Spirit just take the temptation away? He can't. Preacher, what do you mean he can't? Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You found your place? Say amen. Amen. You're still looking? Say, oh me. All right, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will always make a way of escape. He can't take it away, and here's why. Couple it with the fact that the Bible says it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Faith. Therefore, if you cry out to God for help, the Holy Spirit will tell you to do something that requires a step of faith. And when you take the step of faith, then you have the Holy Spirit's power to get victory over the temptation. Unless you take the step of faith, you'll not experience the victory. If you want victory in your thought life, it's not enough just to surrender your mind to God. You have to be obedient in taking the step of faith to have the victory. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. The Holy Spirit says, quote the verse. Start singing. Turn your head. You have to be obedient. And if you're not, please listen, if you're not, God didn't fail. You were drawn away by your own lust and enticed. Too many Christians running around and they're still plugged into the old flesh and the old desires. And they just can't seem to get the victory. Well, unplug the thing. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, and it all starts with your thoughts and pulling down of strongholds. Bring him into captivity to the obedience of Christ and give no place to the devil. Folks, it doesn't get any more practical than that right there. Everything that I've just said is the way for you to have victory in your Christian life. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is practical Christian living. And until we start taking every thought into captivity, we won't see the power of God in our life. Until we start pulling down those strongholds, we won't see God give us the peace and the joy and the victory that we so desperately need. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the message home in your heart. And I want you to spend some time in prayer over the next couple days. I want you to ask the Lord, all of us, let's ask the Lord to identify any strongholds that are in our life. Whatever it is, it may be the six that I mentioned, it may be something else. Ask God to show you the stronghold. And then through the help of the Holy Spirit, pull that thing down. Get rid of it. Surrender that territory back to God. And then cast down the imaginations. Bring every thought into captivity. And see if you don't start having victory. Amen? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.